Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here on this wonderful, beautiful, sunny day. Good to see everybody back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate our visitors most of all. Thank you for being our special guest. Let's get our song service started with a rousing rendition of number 83. All know it by heart. The Promised Land, number 83 in the Gray Book. See what, y'all are on point today already, I can tell. Let's turn back a few pages, number 70. Going Home, number 70.
Thank you. see everybody out today, and I hope and pray that you've been praying for this service. If you want to go home, how do you get there? I'm talking about your house. How do you get there? Well, you've got a route that you've got to take. When we was in Florida, I had one church member that lived in what they call Deltona. Deltona is a crazy set up area, city. I'll say it that way. Every time that they would take us to their house, they took us a different way. And then they would say, you know how to get there? No. You took me. I can't. No. Did you turn right or left? You turned left this time, but you turned right. I was lost. When a sinner wants to go home, I'm talking about a heavenly home, they've got to go one way. That's what I finally told Brother Jerry. I said, you're going to have to take me in and out of this place same way every time until I get it figured out. And that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to lead people to the Lord, and we're trying to show them the right way, the only way. And that's one thing about salvation that a lot of people don't realize today, that there is only one way of getting there. I've heard people say, God's got all these other people and gods that are out there that if you have sincerity in your heart, you can get saved. No, that's not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture tells us it is Jesus saying, I am the way. Yes. And he said, if you believe not in me, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that's that one way. We're thankful to have everyone with us today. We're glad to have you here. I hope and pray that you've been praying for this service today. We're going to get on with our service today. I am going to make two quick announcements. First announcement is, next Sunday is the Sunday we change time. In case you haven't heard, daylight savings time goes away again, and we'll get an extra hour of sleep, so keep that in mind. The other, I'm telling you that now just to kind of get it in your mind before we get there. The other announcement is we've been in the Wiseman Association meeting with them this week and had the privilege of being with Brother Mike Elkins. I think most everybody knows, that's Brother Tom's dad. He is also a Missionary Baptist preacher, and I got a good impression yesterday to ask him to preach this morning. I don't think you'll mind. If you do, you can take it up with me. I'll put it that way. I'm trying to follow the Lord, and that's what I want us always to do. And I got that impression yesterday, and so I asked him about it. And I'm going to tell you the way I asked him. I said, I didn't know. I didn't know what he had to go back home today. And I said, are you going to be here? And that's what I asked the Lord. I said, if he's going to be here tomorrow, if he's supposed to preach, you let him be planning on staying. And that's what the Lord did. He was planning on being here. So I'm following the Lord. I expect us to follow the Lord. I'm expecting him to follow the Lord this morning. So Brother Mike will be preaching for us today. He's a little different from me, but most preachers are. Most of them are better than I am. So I'm going to ask you to pray for him today in this service. We're going to move right along with our service today, and we're having children's church, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Stewart this morning, as he'll be doing the children's church this morning.
All right, everyone come down. We're going to be on this side. Seems like Brother Ricky did it over there. I keep ending up on this side over here.
I make it convenient for
you. That's right. And we encourage those who have outgrown what you consider children's church to come on down too, because we need you also. You're never too old. Remember, last time I talked to y'all about Sunday school, I asked you how old was too old to go to Sunday school. You never get too old to do that. I want to talk to you about something today and I kind of want to relate some stuff to you. Long before any of you probably were born, this church used to meet somewhere else. And then we decided that we wanted to build this church. And so we sold the old church, and we bought the land, and we began to build this church. But you know, for about 2 years where we met, there's about three people in here that's going to make a big difference to you. You know where we met? Where'd you go to school? Providence? That's where this church met for almost 2 years. They met in an area that was kind of the cafeteria, so every time we got there, we had to clean it up, we had to set stuff up, we had to have church, and afterwards we had to clean it up again because we made a mess and get it ready for y'all to go to school. Now, that may not be important to you, but I want you to know that that school had an important place in this church's history, that it was there for us in a time in which we needed a place to gather. Now, during that time, we were still, believe it or not, we were doing children's church back then. And I didn't have it, but I partake in a lesson that I'm going to do again today. And this must have been, I don't know how many years ago. More years than any of y'all have been here. But Brother Kenny Odom took a passage and he read it, and I participated in it by doing something. If y'all look at me right now, am I dressed okay? Everything all right? Okay. Back then, Brother Kenny set me up and said, this is what I want you to do. And we're going to read our passage, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? And our passage comes from 1 Samuel, and it is verse 7 of chapter 16. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And the Lord said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, during that time when we did children's church and we were doing that skit, Brother Kenny asked me to be part of it. And underneath my vest, my shirt was dirty and torn, and my tie was cut off. And I took my shoes off, and I had holes in my shoes. Now, what was that showing you? That I can look pretty presentable, but down deep inside, I can be hiding a lot of stuff. Now, the passage in which we are talking about today says God looks on us not from the outside, but upon the heart. And that makes a big difference. We don't look at people that way. We look at them according to how they're dressed or who they are or something. We make all these assumptions because we can't see their heart. But God can see your heart, and that's how he looks upon you. So you don't have to be big and tall. You don't have to dress your finest. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to do any of those things for God to love you, because he loves you because of how your heart is. Amen. So I urge each of you to place God in your heart. Amen. And make him important. One of the things, as I was looking for the passages and what could be done on a children's church like this, was to cut out a heart and put God lives in my heart on it for each of you. But I want you to keep that thought in your mind. Now, what I'd like you all to do is, we're not going to take the entire verse that I quoted to you. We're just going to take the latter half of it. And I want you to use that and stand up, and we're going to recite it, okay? This is the latter half of verse 7. Everyone ready? Man looketh upon the outward appearance. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. Repeat that, please. Outward appearance. Okay. But the Lord looketh upon the heart. All right. you did well. You may have not been too enthused, but the thing about it is that remember always, God doesn't look at us the way we look at each other. He looks at us from the heart. And so always keep your heart close to God and pure. All right, that's all for today. Thank you all.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. Good lesson this morning. As he was talking about his dress, I was reminded when I was pastored Hogan's Creek the first time, we got invited to go to Tate for the old-fashioned gospel hour. We had one member. I'm just going to say he can be a little bit backwards in some ways, on purpose is the way I'll say it. And some of you would know who I'm talking about, but it's Sister Angela Hackett's husband. He showed up. They did not ride together, but he showed up at church at the for the taping. He had a bright plaid jacket. He had on short shirt sleeve shirts, and the reason why I say short sleeve shirt, he had the sleeves of the coat cut out right here, no sleeves. And he came in there with his hair all slicked back and everything, and Sister Angela was ready to kill him if he went on like that. That you don't judge it by his appearance. When he got ready to go, he left the coat outside. He wanted to get her attention, I think. But he had a certain appearance to him. And as Brother Stewart says, we do not look upon the outward appearance. We look on the heart. Good to see everybody today. We appreciate you being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? We had a lot of prayer requests in our Sunday school this morning. You may have not been here to hear it. I want to encourage you to come and be a part of the Sunday school classes that we have here. It's important for you to learn about Jesus. You need to learn about his word. So come and take part. It's not just for the kids. I'm still learning myself. Every one of us is. And if you're not learning, you're probably dead. And I mean spiritually is what you'll be. So you need to be learning about God as much as you possibly can. We're glad to have everybody with us today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today. We're going to call on one to lead us in prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way today is what we want you to do. Brother Dean, if you would you lead us in prayer, please? Everybody pray in your own way.
Number 10. All right. Number 10. I know on occasion we just get a little taste, Brother Stewart. But I can't imagine how full-fledged the glory is going to be, Miss Sandy, when I see my Lord's face. Mm-hmm. Words can't describe. The Queen of Sheba came to... I didn't mean to say all this, but... The Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. She heard of his might and of his wisdom and of his kingdom. And she visited and he showed everything to her. She stayed several days and saw it all. And upon leaving, she said, I wasn't told the half of it. Mm-hmm. People, we ain't been told the half of what's waiting over there on the other side. Any other song you want to hear? If not, let's try number 227. 227. That one right there next to it. 226.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Miss Heather, the podium's yours.
Everybody follow the Lord now. It's testimony, song. You're not going to bother Brother Mike or myself, but you will bother the Lord if you fail it.
Man, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this may not be the church where my membership is, but we're all in God's church.
Amen.
And that I can't find in the Bible where he's going to use Murfreesboro's roll book or Parkway's roll book, but he's going to use the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
And that today. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord and that. And I just sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know if there's a time that I've been much more nervous than what I am this morning and that. But I know if I can get myself out of the way and get to the Lord, why, everything will be all right. And that's what my fear is. I don't fear you people, but I just fear being able to get to the Lord and that today. So I hope the Lord can just use me, and that's what I've tried to pray. Lord, just let me be a mouthpiece that I could lift the church up and edify your name and that he get all the honor and the glory. And as we go this way today. And Brother Ricky, he asked us there yesterday, and I told him, well, we'd try and that. And then this morning he asked, and I said, well, if the Lord comes by, there'll be some preaching, and if the Lord don't, then they won't. And that's just how it is. But I will say that I really enjoyed the association meeting this year, and that I like to try to come, and the messengers here from the church, I want them to just share to the church in the coming days and weeks and months ahead, and that the things that took place and the topics that was used, And there was one there that I thought about quite a bit, and it was the importance of Sunday school and small group and that today, see. And a lot of times, I feel like I'm saying this, but I want to encourage you to come to Sunday school and that, because in Sunday school, you got more one-on-one, you've got questions or whatever, you feel more free to ask them. And as we go down this way, and you know, when you get several people together and they all put in their input or whatever, it can really help you understand and learn more about the ways of God. And that's not saying the other topics they had and things wasn't important. It's all important. And as they go this way, at that. But you know, as they sang in the song a while ago, and that about it is well with my soul. I'm glad to be able to stand here before you today that it's well with my soul. Things got well with my soul down about the middle of May of 1965 when I was a little 13-year-old boy, see, and that. So I'm going to say today that's what's getting me to heaven. Being a preacher ain't going to get me there, and that. Being Elkins ain't going to get me there. But just being saved, have my name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's what's going to get me there. And that's what it'll take to get anybody. And that there, see. And as we go this way. So when Brother Ricky asked me there yesterday and that, this scripture come to my mind, that scripture come to my mind and that. But it seemed like it all come back down in that. To the scripture here, and I'll try to read it in your hearing and hope this is what the Lord will have. And no doubt it's scripture that you've heard and scripture that you've studied in Sunday school and all these things, but you'll find it over in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians if you got your Bible and want to read along in that with us and that today. And I might say this, I'd like to encourage everybody to bring your Bible to the house of God. And as we go this way, and that, and you know, used to, and that, maybe if I didn't have to preach or something, maybe just going to a revival or going to a singing or something or another, I wouldn't take my Bible. One day the Lord, he just asked me, he said, "Are you ashamed of me?" And that. So I've tried to carry it every time I go to the house of God. And that ever since, whether I'm going to have a part or not, see. And as I go this way and that. But and I'm just a-talking right now and that and hoping to be able to get to the Lord. But here a while back, I was going to some service and it was maybe a revival or something. I got about halfway down our driveway and I happened to think, well, I'd forgot my Bible. And I thought, well, I'm not going to need it. And the Lord said, if you forgot your cell phone, would you go back and get it? I just put the car in reverse and backed up the driveway and that. So over in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, say just a verse or two there that we want to read in your hearing. And we're going to start with the seventh verse there. And it reads like this. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And so that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. And that today. And I'm going to say today, and that there's a whole lot in those couple of verses of Scripture. We go down this way. Life and that, and you'll just have to excuse me for walking around. I can't stand still, and that if I had to stand still and hold my hands still, I just might as well not even get up here, and that. But I'm gonna say today, and that I hope that we'll just obey the Lord today, and I hope that I can get myself out of the way, and I hope that I can get the fear out of the way, that I can just be able to get to the Lord for just a little while, and that. that. And I'm going to say today that it's important that we obey God and do what He'd have us to. And as we go down this ways, He said right here in the words that are read, He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that today. So I'm going to say today, and that as we go down through life, whether we realize it and that today, I'm going to say today, we're either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit, one or the other, see, and that today. But I'm going to say today, I hope that we're sowing and that to the Spirit. I'm going to say today, there's a vast difference. There's two. There's a fleshly man and a spiritual man, and that today. And I'm going to say today, unless we can bring this a fleshly man under subjection to the spiritual man, and that we're not doing nothing, and that for the Lord, and that I'm going to say today, and that even this fleshly man, the Bible teaches us that it's a temple, and that for the Lord, see, and as we go down this way, that's why we need to live, and that every day of our life, and that is if we're right here, and that in the house of the Lord, and that I'm going to say today, He tells us to be not deceived, and as we go down this way, we're either sowing and that to the flesh, and that but I'm going to say today, when we sow and that to the flesh, and that it won't do nothing but bring destruction and that to us, but when we can sow in that to the Spirit, it'll bring life everlasting. And as we go this way, I'm going to say today, and that's the only thing that's going to count. See, I'm going to say today, and that I hope that everybody here and all these children here, and that they have great natural success and that in life. But I'm going to say, having great success and that in life will not get you to that better country. And that I'm going to say today, to get to that good country, you'll have to have the Lord. You'll have to have Him, and that is your Savior. And that today, I'm going to say today, church, that's where that we need to sow, and that to the Spirit. Not only in the house of God, but in our everyday walks of life. And that they talked in the association, and that about missions, and that was one of the topics. And that I'm going to say today, every day of our life, we're doing some kind of mission work. We're either doing it for the Lord, or we're doing it for the devil, one or the other. And that I'm going to say today, and that I hope as we go down through the walks of life, that our life is an open book, and that to the world, that they can see Jesus, and that in our life, and that now, preacher, and that do you live a perfect life? No, far from it, and that they ain't never been but one man that lived a perfect life, that walked in the flesh, and that on this earth, and that was Jesus, and that today had no sin, and that about Him, but yet He took my sins and your sins and everybody else's sins. He took them to the cross of Calvary to pay sin's debt that you and I wouldn't have to pay, that a way was made that we could be saved. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. I'm going to say today, and that I've
afraid a lot of times. And that, Brother Sam, I've made a mockery. And that out of God. Preacher, how's that? Brother Ricky, by not serving him and following him like I ought to. And as we go down this way, I'm so glad of the goodness and that of the Lord this morning. And that in Murfreesboro, I want to encourage you to obey God, live close to the Lord. And not only do I have two little granddaughters that needs to be saved, but there's others in the congregation that needs to be saved. And I'm going to say today, salvation just comes through the church. It don't come that through the organizations and that of the world, but it comes through a little church somewhere. And that, I'm going to say today, it comes through the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that, I believe there over in Revelations, it said, John said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And that it said, the Lamb's bride. And that today I'm so glad, and that of the goodness, and that of the Lord. And that I'm going to say today, and that without her, there'll not be nobody saved. You might have got saved at home. You might have got saved in the barn or in the cornfield, at school or whatever. But somewhere, there was a little church that carried the burden for you, that got down in pain and travail. And that, now don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good organizations out there in the world that does a lot of good for a lot of people. But salvation just comes through the church. That today, say, and Brother Roger Porter, a good preacher friend of mine, and he's a moderator, and they have the Mulberry Gap Association, and he's been my pastor, and I've heard him preach many a time. And that to be saved, there's three things that's got to take place. And that you've got to hear the gospel preach in his power and his spirit, and then conviction has to set up, and that in your heart. Preacher, what's that? In other words, that conviction is knowing that if you died, you'd go to hell. And then there has to be an invitation given, not from me or Brother Ricky, but there has to be an invitation given from God, and that a saying come. And when that invitation is given, and that then you can come and get to the Lord. You just can't be saved whenever you want to. That spirit has to be drawing you down to an altar, and that of repentance. And be not deceived, God's not mocked. I'm going to say today, and that we may a mockery out of the work of God a lot of times, and we think we can do it our way, but I'm going to say the Bible said that man's ways was as far from God's ways as the heavens are from the earth. And that today, so where does that tell you Mike Elkins' ways are? They're far from God. And but I'm going to say today, when I can get Mike Elkins out of the way and get to the Lord, then all is well. And I'm going to say today, and I'm going to say, little church, and get in here, and lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run this great race, and that with patience. I'm going to say today, and that to have power, and that with God, Ricky, we got to lay our sins and that away and lay them aside. And that, I'm going to say, the Lord won't bless over sin in my life or your life or nobody else's life. As we go down this way, and that's what kills our power, and that in the church, there's nothing to kill it but sin. And as we go this way, preacher, do you repent? I try to every day, but I'm going to say it ain't every day I repent. They sometimes I might go days and that begging the Lord for forgiveness, and then one day when I'm down on my little altar, wherever it might be, and wherever you bow on your knees and call to God, that's an altar, and I'm going to say, then that good spirit comes around and begins to flood your soul and wraps you up, as Kenny Porterfield said, just like a blanket that wraps you up. I'm going to say, then your way's clear, and that with the Lord. I'm going to say today, our problem is we get it up here but not down here. And that, I'm going to say today, and that we need to get it down here, and then it'll work. And that today we've made a mockery, and that hell the Lord. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I'm going to say today that we need to hold up this good way. Preacher, will I be popular? No, you won't be popular. Preacher, will I be well thought of? No, you won't be well thought of, especially by the world and the majority of the world. And you won't even be thought of, well thought of by a lot of church members, when we really stand the way the Lord would have us to. This book cuts out sin. Amen. And that it don't matter what Mike Elkins says about it or what you say about it. Right here's what matters. What this book says. And if this book says it's sin, it's sin. You can't justify it no other way, see. And if it said it's not sin, then it's not sin. And as we go down this way, there's too many times, Brother Ricky, we want to draw our own definitions today and say, well, that book was wrote a long time ago. Let me tell you what it says. It says the same today and forevermore, and changes not. So if it was sin back here when God inspired them men to write it, it's still sin today. Amen. As we go down this way, God's not going to bless over sin, see. And that we say we want to see our people saved. But I'm going to say today, and that if we really want to see them saved, we'll get down to business. Amen. And that with the Lord. We'll lay our ways aside, our theories, our ideas aside, and we'll come to this book right here. And that if we don't come to it, there ain't going to be no spirit. And but the Bible said, without the Spirit, you're none of His. And as we go down this way, and that I don't care how loud we might holler, how high we might jump, without the Spirit, we're none of His. And that, now that's the book. Mike Elkins didn't put it there. That's what the Lord put. I'm going to say today, there's a lot of our churches over our land and country that God's took the candlestick and that out. And that today. Why, preacher? Because they forsook Him. Amen. And that today, see. And that. And I'm going to say he'd like to do that right here at Murfreesboro. And that. He'd like to do it at Parkway. He'd like to do it at every little church over the land and country that's trying to stand. for this good way and that. But there on that Sunday morning in May when the Lord come by and saved me, and we had a mourner's bench right here in front of the stand and that, and I bowed about 2 foot from the right-hand side of it and that. I'm going to say today and that church, it was empire and that. And I just feel like telling you my experience a little bit and that. I got saved the very service that conviction failed. And that, see, and that. I was 13 years old, been in and around church all my life. And that. And they'd been to different ones, talked to me. Brother Bill Jackson had talked to me. And that. He was one of the home preachers there. And that. And he had asked me before, is everything all right? I told him it was, and it was. And that. But that morning, there, Junior Potter was a pastor. And I guess he preached. I don't know. I can't remember. But I'm assuming he did. And that. But what got my attention, the church was a singing and there, and I was sitting about three or four seats back, and there, and the church stood up to sing after preaching, I'm assuming that's how it was, but anyhow they was a singing, and they were singing some song about heaven, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you can't go there because you've never been saved. And there was a fear come over me and that like I never felt before. Preacher, what was that fear? It was conviction. And the Lord said, you can't go there because you've never been saved. And I just stand there holding to the back of the bench in front of me. And that, and Brother Bill come back and he reach out his hand and he said, is everything still all right? And that, and I had to tell him no, and I made my way down to an altar and I called on Jesus. Preacher, what did you pray? The only thing I remember praying was, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me. And I said that 3 or 4 times, and he come by and he saved my soul. And right then my name was wrote, and that in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be took out of it. And that again, and that, and I'm so thankful for the goodness and that of the Lord. And that, and we're kept and by the Lord. We're not kept by our own works. We're kept by the Lord. Amen. He said, it's not the works lest any man. In other words, take glory in himself. And as we go down this way, say, I'm going to say we're kept by the Lord, Sam. And that. If Mike Elkinshaw can't keep it. And that. I'm going to say today that I'm thankful that we had a Savior that went to our force to make a way that we could be saved. Now, and if there's ever nothing saved, it'll take the Lord as we go down this way. And that he said right here, and that in his word there, and that I'm going to read again. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And he goes on in this 9th verse and he said, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. I'm going to say, most of us here and that, sometime or another in our lives, we've put out gardens. And most of us, we know it takes time for a seed to germinate and come forth. But what do we do? We'll sow it, and about 2 days later, we're out there looking to see if anything's come up. And I'm going to say, it takes a little while for that change to take place. I'm going to say, he said, be not weary in well-doing, for you'll reap in due season. Yes,
if you faint not. So, church, I want to encourage you. And that, just keep working. And that. And I don't want you to raise your hand. But how many of us, before we come to church this morning, said, Lord, just give me something to do this morning. And that. That lift your name up. That I'm going to say probably not too many of us did. And that. I'm going to say I sure tried to pray this morning. Because Brother Ricky done told me yesterday, asked me to preach. And I know without the Lord, I couldn't do it. But there's been different times in my life I've got to the place where I could say, Lord, just give me something to do this morning. And I'll put this in there and I'll do it. There's been times I've said, Brother Sam, give me something to do, and I'd try to word it in a way that if he did, I could slip out of it, see. And that wasn't worth a dime, and that. But I'm going to say there's been a few times I come humble. And boy, and the Lord, he'd give you something to do. And it wouldn't be what you think it would be. You'd think, well, maybe the Lord wants you to sing a song, or maybe he wants you to testify that. But most time it's something that it's really hard for the flesh to do. And that, I remember one time when I was at Sharton Springs, and that, and I prayed that to the Lord, and just as I come through the back door, he said, I want you to go straight to the altar. And I thought, Lord, I can't do that. Service ain't even started. And that, he said, you told me to give you something. And I went, Sam.
Right. Yes.
And I went. And the Lord come by. I'm going to say today, when we promise the Lord something, he expects us to keep it.
Amen.
He said it's better never to make a vow than to make one and break it. And when we got saved, we may not have verbally said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to. But in our heart, we had to come that way. Lord, I'll do what you want me to. Just save me. And that. And I'm going to say, when we come that way, he'll do his work. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I hope we're sowing good seed. And that. I tell you today, I know I live about 4 or 5 hours away, about 250 miles up a road. And that. Boy, I'd like to hear good news. And that. Better yet, I'd like to see good news. And there as we go down this way. I'm going to say today, if you're here this morning, the Lord's speaking to your heart, whether you've been saved or whether you ain't, and he's telling you to come down here and pray. And that's what you better do. And we got to desire him above all. And that. The Lord, he don't want us to use him as a spare tar. You know, the old spare tar, it's thrown in the trunk or tied up under the vehicle somehow. That some even vehicles don't even have a spare tar no more. But anyway, you know, we'll check iron or other tires. Well, we don't never check on the old spare. And that, and Sam, I've been in this situation before. Right. Have a flat, and you drag it out, and it's flat.
Still flat.
That's still flat. And that today, see. I'm going to say today, we better make sure we put the Lord first. You know, I've not seen it in several years, but there used to be a little license tag out that said, the Lord is my co-pilot. And that, we don't need him for a co-pilot. We need him for a pilot. And that, as we go down this way, let him have control. And when he's got control, things will work out, see. And that, as we go down through the walks of life. So I preached to you what the Lord laid on her heart and that, and I hope it's been a strength and a help to the church. I hope if somebody's here lost today, that the Lord just sealed conviction in your heart, and your heart was just a thumping like a freight train. And that, and I'm going to say that's the Lord is speaking to you. And that, I'm going to tell this on Thomas when he was a little boy, when he got saved. We was on the altar at Bear Creek, we was in a revival. And he was standing in front of his mom. And you know how you moms, you stand, drape your arms over one of your kids' shoulders, you know, and they're backed up against you. And she said, Thomas, said, your hearts are beating. He said, I know. And she said, you need to go pray. And I believe he might have told her no at that time, but it kept on. And she asked him again, and he come and prayed, and the Lord saved him, see. Yeah. And that. And I'm going to say today that it's down in here. I'm afraid too many times we get it up here. And that. And we know we need to be saved, but if conviction ain't set in, Brother Hackett, we can't get saved. And that. But when that conviction sets in, it makes a difference. And I'm going to say the power of the church makes a difference in how conviction falls as we go this way. And that. So obey the Lord today. I don't know what time it is. I got no watch, but I don't never look at it. And that, but it don't matter. I find in the Word of God it said that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years in the Lord. So He don't go by minutes and hours like we do. And as we go this way, but I'm gonna say today is the day of salvation, and that today, see, tomorrow may not come, and that for any of us, and out of us numbers that's here today. And that, I guess, 75 people. Just out of this congregation that's gathered here today, one of us will be the next one to go out to meet the Lord. It could be the oldest, it could be the youngest, or it could be anybody in between. And that today. And when that time comes, to those that's reached the years of accountability, there ain't but one thing that matters. And that's whether your name's wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that today. So that's the only thing that counts. And that. And I'm going to say today, and that God don't send nobody to hell. That I heard a lot of people say, well, God wouldn't send me to hell. God don't. He gives you a choice. In other words, one leads to heaven, one leads to hell. And you get to choose which one you want to go. And that today, see. Nobody in their right mind, I don't think, would just intentionally choose to go to hell. And that. But by us rejecting the call of God, when He knocks on our heart, we're saying, Lord, I don't want you. I just go on down the road to hell. That's what we're telling the Lord, see. And that. And if death comes and finds you in that shape, that's where you'll go. And that today. So, Sam come get a song, or Brother Hackett won't say a word or whatever. And that, just obey the Lord. If the Lord's leading you to come pray, come pray. And I'm going to tell you this, if the Lord's teaching you to come right up here and pray, there ain't no use trying to pray and you see it. He ain't going to hear you. Hey, you know, preacher, I've tried Him down through life. If the Lord leads you somewhere to pray and you try to pray somewhere else, that's a dead prayer. And that. But if you'll go where the Lord have you to, you can see things happen. And that. So everybody mind the Lord. Amen. And that. Brother Ricky.
Go ahead, Brother Sam. I will say, if you're lost, come and seek the Lord.
Listen, yeah. Love you, brother.